Welcome to The Whole Steward, the holistic approach to wealth from a Christian worldview. I'm your host, Andrew Stanton, and I'm glad you've joined. The world is sometimes hard to understand. When it comes to our cultural capital, this complicated world throws propaganda at us all the time to shape our thinking and behavior. If you don't affirm mainstream thinking, you will often be challenged, shamed, or ousted. Let's dive deep into a cultural battle about battle that affects every one of us today on The Whole Steward. This is episode number 57, and I am so thankful for your listenership. Remember, you can get your Whole Steward cap on thewholesteward.com, as well as a hoodie and a t-shirt there, a couple of different cap options, and I want to expand what we offer there so that you can help spread the message of The Whole Steward, a very simple message, the holistic approach to wealth from a Christian worldview. With that being said, sometimes we end up in an echo chamber. And that means that, you know, we have these subcultures within our society that we live in and function within a cultural framework. Now, we see very distinct roots in the scripture. For example, if the culture says murder is wrong, well, is it just because our culture feels like murder is wrong? Or is that rooted in the Bible? And I would say it's the latter. There are other things, like when it comes to economics, what is the idea of equity in exchange of value and in exchange of economic services? The goods and services that we operate in are governed by certain cultural laws, and I believe those are informed by Scripture. In other words, equity and justice abound in that regard. So our culture is under attack and it is definitely declining, but there are a lot of good things to appreciate about it. And certainly you can say, well, you can look at other places around the world and recognize that, hey, with as much as it's declining, we still have it really good. And so what do we as Whole Stewards need to do, and what is our perspective to be on that culture? We need to defend what is good within the culture. Now, one of the things that has been on my mind for a little while now, and mostly because I appreciate the original sources on particular issues that I care about, and it's actually amazed me how many of those who I would say are within my circle that have not heard of some of these things I'm going to talk about today. So I think it's very important that we raise awareness. Today is just to whet your appetite for original sources on a particular topic rather than to be exhaustive on it. Now, the topic that I'm talking about is the wars around the world and our role in them, and then how that affects the discussion and the battle for the culture that is on our home front, even within conservative circles. And certainly, unless you've had your head under a rock, there has been quite a few shakeups lately with some people who are high up in the conservative space that are exposing things that maybe mainstream thinking doesn't like so much. As we get started, what I want to do is first talk about the war in Ukraine and our response to that. So it's amazed me that some of you don't know that Tucker Carlson, who had the number one show on Fox News, which granted is a propaganda outlet, has recently been ousted from Fox News. Many of you probably know this already, but he has started his own network, and that's called the Tucker Carlson Network, and he has been absolutely doing a great job as a journalist, bringing on very deep and perhaps controversial guests and interviews that he is doing. And I really appreciate somebody who sticks their neck out like that to accomplish that. And it's very fascinating. on the war in Ukraine in particular, he wanted to interview Vladimir Putin, and Fox News wouldn't let him. So what did he do? Well, now that he's free of Fox News, he went and interviewed Vladimir Putin. Now, you might say, whoa, an American is going to interview Putin. You've probably already seen this or are aware of it, but in case you haven't, I want to raise that awareness now because it's important to me. And that's what I talk about here, is things that interest me. So Tucker Carlson goes over to Moscow and literally sits down for over 2 hours for a one-on-one translated interview with Vladimir Putin. That was an incredible experience. And if you have not watched that interview in its entirety, I highly encourage you to do so because it is an original source. Now you might say, well, we don't, you know, Putin is senile or whatever, and he's just he's a crazy warmonger, and he's invading and just like causing all these problems, and if he just wouldn't do that, then we'd be fine. But we gotta, you know, help support Ukraine and send all these weapons and money to Ukraine to help combat this crazy guy who's invading and taking over the world. What I've learned in recent years is that a lot of times those in power are looking for some boogeyman to blame for their actions, which are really actually a part of a different agenda. So, for example, I would say that COVID-19 is one of those. They look for a boogie virus and say, oh, you know, this is a really bad thing. And then they use it as a tool to fundamentally change the underlying economy, to fundamentally control the population, to do various things that are quite damaging, or at least not if you had heard it, them coming straight out and saying, yeah, no, this is why we're doing this, not because the virus is actually super dangerous for these people, but because we actually want to control a population, or, you know, do mass injection experiments, or fundamentally change the underlying economy, or just get really rich off of the experimental, injections or whatever. I'm tangenting there because what I want to focus in on is the war in Ukraine. So my point is that sometimes the people in control will use propaganda to create a boogeyman that then allows them to operate in a way that normal citizens, normal people like you and me would not otherwise approve of. So I would venture to say that Putin is one of those people. Our country and our propaganda machine has created a boogeyman to basically justify certain actions of supporting Ukraine and doing other things. If you don't remember the episode I did on the energy in the economy, one of the things I talked about was how Biden guaranteed that he would blow up the Nord Stream pipeline, or at least that there would be none if Putin invaded. So one of the things that Putin addresses in the interview is that very topic. And so what I want to do is just show you a couple clips and inspire you to watch the whole thing. If you haven't watched it, and it's amazing to me how many people haven't actually seen it, this doesn't mean you have to approve of what Putin's doing or even think that he's a great guy, because he's not. But the idea is, and Trump has mentioned this, like, you know what? America does a lot of this stuff too, and you're not talking about that or even concerned about it. So let's have a conversation here. And that's certainly what Tucker has done. He sat down with Putin, who is basically one of our enemies, or at least we're fighting a war with him, a proxy war through tons of funding to this foreign country. And it's a big problem. I think, you know, sending a bunch of bullets and bombs to a country to help them kill each other is a big, big problem. And you might say, well, Andrew, you just are completely ignorant on this whole thing. Maybe so, but I at least watched the 2 hours and 15 minutes of Tucker and Carlson, Tucker and Putin talking with each other about this topic. And I would encourage you to do the same. So the first thing to look at is the absolute devastation of war. And you can see that right here, the death toll or severe injury, seriously injured or killed, is over 500,000 people. 500,000 people in this war. So this is no small matter. And yeah, I understand wars happen and people kill each other, and you can trace that back to sin and the issue of people not agreeing with each other and fighting with each other, and siblings even do it. They war with each other, and you can see human nature come out. But does it really have to be this way? And look at who benefits from these things. We have a military-industrial complex that stands to benefit from people shooting a bunch of bullets and bombs at each other. And, if that was happening to America, we'd be much more concerned to say, you know what, this needs to stop. And we look back at even what happened with the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, and we can look back and say, maybe some people were lying to us about that. And certainly I remember watching the mainstream media and just saying, oh, we need to invade and all this stuff. And it's like, weapons of mass destruction. That is that's not a view that I hold anymore, because when you really dig down, you're like, there's some people who stand to benefit, and it's not the average citizen of the countries on either side. And certainly, we need to pay attention to that. So a lot of people have died. An entire generation almost of young men has been wiped out in these countries. And for what? For what? And you might say, well, you don't understand this at all. And yeah, you're right, I don't. But Putin helps us understand a little bit from the Russian side of things. And let's see what he has to say. So the first piece I want to show you is where Tucker asks him about the Nord Stream pipeline and who blew it up. And if, of course, they say, well, the U.S. or NATO did it, then why wouldn't Putin just say so and win a huge propaganda battle? And his answer is very interesting. Listen to this.
If you had evidence, and presumably given your security services, your intel services, you would, that NATO, the US, CIA, the West did this, why wouldn't you present it and win a propaganda victory?
In the war of propaganda, it is very difficult to defeat the United States, because the United States controls all the world's media and many European media. The ultimate beneficiary of the biggest European media are American financial institutions. Don't you know that? So it is possible to get involved in this work, but it is cost prohibitive, so to speak. We can simply shine the spotlight on our sources of information, and we will not achieve results. It is clear to the whole world what happened, and even American analysts talk about it directly.
So it's interesting that Tucker asks him, well, why don't you just win this huge propaganda war? If it really is the U.S. that blew it up, or NATO, then why don't you just come out, present the evidence, show the world that, hey, look, they sabotaged their own source of fuel, their own source of energy to, this pipeline going into Germany. And Putin says, well, there's no country like the U.S. when it comes to propaganda. And it's almost cost prohibitive to them to fight it. You have to look and read between the lines to see what's going on here. And, like I showed you even back then when it first happened, that Biden, long before it happened, said, I can guarantee you if Putin invades, there will be no Nord Stream pipeline. You see? So who did it? Well, they can point fingers all day, but why would, the question I would ask is, why would Putin and Russia blow up a pipeline that is carrying a product that they're selling to another country? It makes absolutely no sense. But certainly in the war of propaganda, there's a fierce battle going on there. Public opinion then is shaped by this propaganda. You might think, oh, Putin, if you listen to the mainstream media, is a senile old guy who doesn't know what he's doing and he's just invading and going on this, warmongering trail. He's very strategic. You have to have a lot of patience to listen to this entire interview. And he takes people through, hundreds and hundreds of years of history and is very much educational, very sharp in what he's saying and why he's saying it. That was one of my takeaways. Unlike our leader who can't remember which way to exit the stage, but that's a different discussion, slightly. Let's go to the next clip. When Tucker asks him about the desire for a peace deal or negotiations in that regard, and his answer is very fascinating.
So I just want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding what you're saying. I don't think that I am. I think you're saying you want a negotiated settlement to what's happening in Ukraine.
Right. And we made it. We prepared a huge document in Istanbul that was initialed by the head of the Ukrainian delegation. He affixed his signature to some of the provisions, not to all of it. He put his signature and then he himself said, we were ready to sign it and the war would have been over long ago, 18 months ago. However, Prime Minister Johnson came, talked us out of it, and we missed that chance. Well, you missed it, you made a mistake. Let them get back to that, that is all.
So what he's talking about here is that they were going to negotiate, and they had negotiated a preliminary document, terms of peace and negotiation early on in the war that was, and I'm talking about the most recent invasion of Ukraine, that they had come to some level of initial agreement and terms. And in Istanbul, they were going to, do that. And what happened was Boris Johnson from the UK came down and said, you know what? Don't sign this document. Don't sign the peace deal. We can beat Putin on the battlefront, on the battlefield. And so they kind of blew the whole peace deal apart. And very, relatively few people had died by that time compared to where we are today. And now the U.S. and Britain and whoever has been, all the NATO countries pouring money and guns and bullets and all this stuff into Ukraine to say, you can beat them on the battlefield, just keep shooting each other. Meanwhile, what we might call the neocons or the new conservatives are saying, we need to kind of help other countries by policing the world. And what you do, if you dig deep into the background of some of these people like Nikki Haley and the Bushes were certainly part of this, that they stand to benefit from war. They either own stock in defense companies or things like that, where, they just push money all over the place and certainly benefit from war. If everybody's peaceful and getting along, they don't benefit as much. The defense contractors certainly won't benefit. We're making all this fancy equipment to kill each other, and if we're not using it, then what's the point? So Boris Johnson goes over there, tells Zelensky, "Don't sign the deal. We can beat him on the battlefront. So keep fighting each other." That's what he's talking about.
Why do we have to bother ourselves and correct somebody else's mistakes? I know one can say it is our mistake. It was us who intensified the situation and decided to put an end to the war that started in 2014 in Donbas, as I have already said, by means of weapons. Let me get back to furthering history. I already told you this. We were just discussing. Let us go back to 1991, when we were promised that NATO would not expand, to 2008, when the doors to NATO opened to the Declaration of State Sovereignty of Ukraine, declaring Ukraine a neutral state. Let us go back to the fact that NATO and US military bases started to appear on the territory of Ukraine, creating threats to us. Let us go back to coup d'etat in Ukraine in 2014.
What it's talking about there is that NATO was provoking Russia by expanding into Ukraine. They were talking about Ukraine becoming a NATO member. Do you think Russia is going to appreciate a NATO country right on its border? That would be like in America, China saying, hey, we're building military bases right there in Mexico, just south of the border, anywhere in Mexico. Oh, and nuclear weapons and the whole nine yards. Do you think America would just stand by and go, oh, that's totally fine. China can build military bases in Mexico all day long? No, we'd probably say stop it, and if you don't, we're going to invade and take care of this, right? That is not something that we would tolerate, and it makes a lot of sense that Russia would be provoked by NATO doing this, expanding into Ukraine. And he says, going back to even the Donbas area in 2014, basically, Putin will take you through the history of a coup d'etat, which is where most of the people who live in that peninsula, that region, are Russian. And what happens is they elect a Russian person to their government, and the NATO and Western forces come in and actually remove that person from office, and the Russian people who elected him are now out, a fairly elected individual. Russia comes in and says, you know what? Ukraine's not treating you fairly, not even close with this coup d'etat. So we're going to just annex and call you part of Russia so that we can use you, take care of you properly. And that was certainly the first provocation, but is it really Russia that made the first move here? I don't know. The West is this again. This is a battle of propaganda. Now Putin has invaded the mainland of Ukraine, and he's saying, you were putting bases there, and that's why. That's one of the reasons why. It's not that we want to take over the whole world. It's just that we're not comfortable with what you're doing, with your military bases, etc. So it's a fascinating, fascinating point that Putin makes.
Pointless, though, isn't it? We may go back and forth endlessly, but they stop negotiations. Is it a mistake? Yes. Correct it. We are ready. What else is needed?
Do you think it's too humiliating at this point for NATO to accept Russian control of what was 2 years ago Ukrainian territory?
So, they're going to go on, and it's very fascinating. I hope this just whets your appetite to, hearing what Putin has to say rather than just thinking, oh, yeah, And it's amazing in our culture how much of a cultural battle this was. I remember when it first happened, it was like, we need to stand with Ukraine. And people were putting, Ukrainian flags on their business pages and their LinkedIn pages and their social media accounts and all these different things. We need to stand with Ukraine. When I think the situation is a little bit more nuanced than you might imagine. And it certainly the mainstream, narrative may not have the true answers here. And that's what I'm bringing before you today. If you do watch the interview, don't forget to watch Tucker Carlson's post-interview explanation when he went on this special forum to explain what he was thinking during the interview and how it was going. I mean, imagine you're literally sitting there interviewing the president of Russia. It's crazy, or the dictator of Russia, whatever you prefer. Just to whet your appetite on that, it's well worth your time to listen to Tucker's debrief with the world government at the World Government Summit in 2024. Let me just whet your appetite here with this little clip.
When you asked him, are you ready to invade Poland?
Are you an expansionist power?
Expansion, yes, in Poland. He said, only if Poland launched a war,
of course,
on Russia, okay? Ukraine did not launch a war on Russia, and he invaded Ukraine. Why you didn't follow up on this question?
I started with that question, actually. But he treated me to 35 minutes of Catherine the Great,
okay,
and the Rus. But no, the core question is, why did he move his forces into eastern Ukraine? And I watched this from a distant vantage in the United States, and I watched the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, go to the Munich Security Conference just days before that, in February of 2022, and say in a public forum at a press conference to Zelensky, the President of Ukraine, we want you to join NATO, which is another way of saying, it's a synonym for, we plan to put nuclear weapons on Russia's
border. You
think
they threw a bait for him?
Are you joking? Of course they did.
They
threw and it just tells you how constipated and restricted and censored the U.S. media landscape is, that I was the only one who said that. Well, wait a second. The purpose of diplomacy is to reach a peaceful, mutually one hopes beneficial conclusion to a crisis. So if you're showing up voluntarily at the Munich Security Conference and saying, hey, Zelensky, why don't you allow us to put nuclear weapons on Russia's border? You're cruising for a war because you know that's the red line. Because Putin has said that, and any close observer of the area already knows.
Now, do you have an explanation, a reasonable explanation, why there is this anti-war and this very negative remarks about this interview from a lot of your colleagues and a lot of politicians in the world?
One of the ways that I think I'm different is I don't like the internet, and I haven't seen any of the reaction, and I would imagine, you know, I'm not the most popular person among my colleagues in the United States. I wouldn't have dinner with them anyway, so it's no great loss. But, you know, I can't imagine what their motives would be. I didn't go to Russia, of course, to promote Vladimir Putin. And if that was my purpose, I'd say so, because I'm not embarrassed. I went because I felt that most Americans, in whose name all of this is being done, don't really know what's happening, and they know nothing about the guy they're supposedly at war with, unofficially. And I just felt that my job, if I have a job in this world, it's to bring information to people so they can decide. And so I wanted to do the longest interview I could with Vladimir Putin that contained the most amount of Vladimir Putin talking, not me grandstanding about what a great person I am. When an American journalist interviews someone like Vladimir Putin, the whole point of the interview is to say, I'm a good person and you're not. And that interview was aimed at his colleagues in the newsrooms in the United States. I'm a good person. Why are you such a bad person? You're committing genocide. Okay. That's not fruitful, and that's certainly not my role. I care what God thinks of me, what my wife thinks of me, and what my four children think of me, and that's all I care about. So I don't need to prove that I'm a good person. I want to hear Vladimir Putin talk so people in my country can assess what's happening. That's it.
So there you have it. Some justification and some very articulate views of what was happening leading up to the invasion and why he thinks that in many cases, Putin is telling the truth in some things. Of course, he could be lying easily all the time. That's what politicians do. But we need to try to weed through these things. And I think it's very dangerous to take a very simplistic mainstream approach. And what I'm trying to do here is bring you an alternative view so that you can think differently and kind of, I'm trying to encourage you to go to the original sources. If you listen to Putin talk, that's an original source. I mean, no matter where he got his information or whether he's lying or not, it's at least a source that the mainstream media won't bring you, not even Fox News. And if you look into this more, I mean, Tucker had wanted to do this for quite a few years, and they would not let him. And so now that he's free and doing his own bit of journalism, you heard a little bit about the spirit there of what his journalism is all about.
Hi, this is Gary Pinkerton with Gary's Gulch Podcast. You are listening to The Hold Steward with Andrew Stanton, one of the best researched shows by a man of true passion. Now that you know more, go out and grow more.
So let's turn now our attention to Israel and Gaza. A very sad and devastating unfolding of events over the last 6 months. If you didn't catch it, I did an episode on that right away at the very beginning. Again, trying to bring you a nuanced view. If you didn't catch it, go back and listen to episode number 42. If you search 42 on the website, it'll bring it right up. Just like this, and you can see episode 42, Conspiracy in the Middle East, and it's a very interesting dynamic that has unfolded there. It's very sad on both sides. And why do I say that? You know, you could say, well, how is it so sad? Israel was just attacked unprovoked. I think there's debate on that issue, and as well, if you look at the number of people that have died, let's take a moment to be sad for that. War is a devastating thing, no matter what. 1,410 people on Israel's side. I'm not sure if that's total over the whole war or just on the day of the attack. I don't remember exactly, but on the Palestinian side, it's been 30,228 people have either been killed or, I suppose, injured. But, well, this says here, reported as killed in Israel-Hamas war, including 94 journalists, 89 Palestinian and 2 Israeli and 3 Lebanese journalists, and over 138 UNRWA aid workers, or 136, I'm sorry. So, again, this is just Wikipedia. How accurate is it? I don't know. Keep in mind, Wikipedia is backed by very liberal organizations, but the number is probably not too far off from this, and it is a very sad thing. People will say, well, you know, Hamas uses civilians as shields, human shields, and so we can't help but blow everybody up in the process, but that's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. And it's a very sad thing, including on the Israel side too, as well. So that's where that war stands. So not anywhere near the 500,000 people as in the war in Ukraine, but still a lot of people. And so one of the things that has come to the forefront then of the cultural discussion and battle is that what is America's role in all of this? What is our role as individuals in all of this? How do we talk about it with our children and with our friends and our family and our coworkers and everybody that we engage with? How are we to understand this? And it's not an easy thing, at least from my perspective. I've been becoming much more nuanced as I take the mainstream propaganda message and set that aside and kind of take in input from every side. And, it's a big thing to wrap your head around. There's a lot of history, right? There's a lot of history about Israel being God's chosen people way back in the day. But then you can look into the New Testament and realize that God has saved Gentiles as well, which means including Palestinians. There are Christian Palestinians there suffering under this war, as well as, others, maybe predominantly Muslim, of course, but there are many who are not Jewish, but are God's people. And the Bible says very clearly that if you have faith like Abraham, you are one of his children. You are one of his offspring. Jesus said, don't think that you're children of Abraham because you're his offspring. It's those who have faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Therefore, if a Jew then is rejecting Christ, rejecting Messiah, you cannot say that he is a member of God's chosen people, because he is rejecting Messiah, rejecting God, therefore, in the flesh, and therefore unsaved and on the way to hell. So if you don't trust in the Savior, you are not one of God's children. It is very important that you search the scriptures on this matter. And maybe on a different episode, I could, dive into it more. But there's that element of it, that spiritual side of it that is often brought up. But then let's just talk about it from the standpoint of people groups on this earth, regardless of their religion or, status or standing before God. All men are created by God and are created in the image of God and therefore have intrinsic value, regardless of their religion or their race or their background or their ethnicity or their language or whatever. God loves all the people of the world, and certainly he died on the cross for all peoples and welcomes them in. So, with that being said, then, what do we have in Israel and Hamas? Well, we have a land dispute. Israel has a right to exist as a state. Hamas and the Palestinian people say no, they don't, and therefore negotiations are not happening. At least, not that I know of, not yet. This is not meant to be a breaking news outlet. That's not what we're about. It's more so about the cultural stewardship issues of what we're dealing with. And so one of the things that comes to the forefront of my mind is the controversy around Candace Owens. If you don't know who Candace Owens is, she's somebody who the liberal mainstream would love to get a hold of. She's a woman and she's black. And, we know that liberal thinking is always trying to box people in to the boxes that they like. Okay, you're a woman, you're a black woman. If you're a black transgender woman, it's even better, blah, blah, blah. Candace Owens is none of those. She is very articulate in the conservative space and a commentator, and kind of throws and blows all the liberal thinking out of the water really quick, and is super powerful. In fact, a lot of people have listened and appreciated her commentary on events, current events. And that's kind of what she does. That's not what the whole steward's all about. But what I wanted to talk about was the controversy now between her and the Daily Wire. The Daily Wire is the second largest conservative media outlet in the country, and it's certainly a big story when somebody gets fired. And you'll say, hold on a minute, there was a mutual parting. No, she was let go, and I'll show you that. It's very clear. It's obvious to everybody. If you don't follow this stuff, don't worry about it. The main point is that she's been having some very important, nuanced conversations about the war in Israel. So just like Tucker is having this conversation with Putin about the war in Ukraine and many other follow-ups and lead-ups to that, Candace is very vocal about the war in Israel and Gaza. So with that, I want to just whet your appetite to two episodes, among others, that I really think are important for you to listen. You can kind of see where my brain is going a little bit on this, as a millennial, it's a conversation between two millennials. And we were raised in the 90s and the early 2000s to think a certain way. I mean, those were the days of the 9/11 attacks and the dot-com bubble and the 2008 financial crisis, all this stuff. And I think it's okay that we question those fundamental narratives. And it's certainly been sort of a scary and yet refreshing exercise, thought exercise, to do so. Candace interviewed Dave Smith, who is a Jewish man. So here you have a black woman talking to a Jewish man about these things. And I appreciate a couple of the things that they said. So listen to this.
You know, sometimes people will say, like, they'll be like, well, look, there, sometimes wars are justified. And I do think that's true. I do think there are such things as just wars. It's just that none of these current wars meet that standard, and none of them. And so, and look, you know, there's this great, this is for conservatives, I think there's something to think of, because this is one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard in my life. I might slightly butcher it, but John Adams, it's a famous quote, but he said, if America goes around the world looking for monsters to destroy, we will become the dictatress of the world, but we will lose the power to control our own soul. And you're like, what a beautiful quote. And how, like, how much is like, you're like, wow, he actually predicted. And that's what happened, that America decided we're just going to fight wars constantly all around the world. And what's happening here to our own culture? It's like, yeah, we've lost our own soul. And there's a connection there, you know? Like, there's something about how, like, when did the sexual revolution and, like, the counterculture revolution happen? It happened during Vietnam. You know, it's like you go on these mass murder campaigns and you're, on some spiritual level, you lose moral legitimacy. And now there's nothing to kind of, like, glue people together in a weird way. And then you just see, like, all types of degeneracy spiral out of that.
Right there, just really quick, he's talking about it's talking about America supporting all these foreign wars, and it's kind of the same story as it was with Ukraine, right? Ukraine's good guys, Russians bad guys, and we need to send all these bombs and bullets and money to them to help fight this. And now there's this huge call to do the same for Israel when you know, maybe the situation is a little bit more nuanced than that. Now, Hamas certainly is a terrorist group, and they're incredibly evil, and they do incredibly evil things to the people in Israel when they invaded Israel. But that wasn't the first time all of a sudden everybody woke up and was like, oh, there's a bunch of people that hate these other people over here. And, you know, it took us totally by surprise. There's a lot of history there, going back decades and decades. And so that's part of what they're talking about. So, of course, we jumped right into the middle. But he's saying that when we are so worried about these things that are happening around the world and trying to police the world, and we have our own problems at home, like literally an invasion on our southern border, of millions and millions of people, and we're not doing anything about that. In fact, we're actually letting it happen. It's you know, encouraging it to happen, at least from a liberal standpoint. That's the absolute mode of operation. That's a problem. And then our own moral fabric is being torn apart at its core right now, to the point where we don't even know what a woman is. Now, I'm not saying we Christians, we certainly do know that. But we as a society are afraid to even talk about that. What is a woman? What is a man? What is in the womb when a woman's pregnant? These are just things in our culture that are being fundamentally just, it's just evil. And yet we're worried about, you know, a lot of this stuff around the world. So it's not an isolationist point of view. As he said, like, there are some wars that are justified, but it's just that we are way too involved with these things. So let's keep going.
industrial complex messed up was like, if you were going to keep justifying this, you at least had to like keep the roads paved over here. Like you had to make us think like, yes, no, like obviously things are going great. You had to keep up sort of the Brady Bunch delusion. You had to leave it to Beaver. Everybody's got mowed lawns. We obviously are seeing now that America is fully in decline. I'm optimistic. I think it can change around. I think it changes around once people start thinking. And you're then telling us that we can do both. We can do both. We can send money and fight in Ukraine. And we can, you know, send money to Israel. We can send money to Afghanistan. We can do everything. Clearly, we can't. The evidence is in front of us. You're trying to get us to commit to the final instruction, the final Aurelian instruction, which is not to believe our own eyes. And Americans in this moment are starting to believe their own eyes, and they're starting to ask questions. And we're starting to ask questions about why this foreign policy, where we're spending nonstop money that we clearly don't have, is failing. And yet we're being told that we have to keep in it. You know, we have to keep in it forever. And I do think that the point you just made is so important, is that they recognize that if they can get you to lean into these social issues and constantly keep us warring with one another, Candace, don't see yourself as a nuanced independent thinker. See yourself as Black. Candace, don't see yourself as a nuanced independent thinker. See yourself as a woman, right? Feminism is for you. Like, you know, BLM is for you. Jewish people, don't see yourself as a nuanced individual, right? You need to see yourself as a Jew first and worry about 100%. The Holocaust. Black people worry about slavery. Women worry about the patriarchy. That is their and I hate it.
Yes, 100%. And it's such a psyop. It's such an obvious psyop, too. Like, look, even when you were talking about, like, the George Floyd thing, right?
So, I love how she has the abundance mindset. That's one of the things that we love here on The Whole Steward, is an abundance mindset that things can get better and they can improve and they can be even turned around. As she said, but certainly our culture can be and is in decline. So we need to be, you know, thinking about how to turn that around. And one of the things is to speak the truth and to speak it in love. You know, I mentioned several of the social issues that are very important, but there are many others. She just mentioned some of them as well. And she's saying, you know, if the military-industrial complex was going to succeed at what they were doing, they should have at least made it look like things were okay at home. In other words, some of us see huge gaps even at home. What are we doing? It's kind of like, what are we doing policing the world when we can't even figure out our own affairs at home? And it's kind of like when one of my kids come in and they'll be in a absolute tizzy about something, and they'll be like, you know, so-and-so, you know, one of their siblings, so-and-so just did this and that and this and that, and, you know, just incredibly upset. And you look at them and you go, well, but what did you do? And then all of a sudden they go quiet and they're like, oh, well, yeah, we got problems too, you know? And it doesn't take very long to go, okay, well, what are your problems? And that's not to say that we shouldn't care about what's happening around the world, but, you know, we've got major problems, and yet we're thinking that we can go and somehow morally, with moral superiority, go and make determinations on these other wars and just, you know, support one or the other. I think it's a stretch at best. One last point I want to make with Candace is that on her last episode, so on her last episode, she kind of went through the title is, Why Does Everyone Think I'm Going to Be Killed? What a title for a video. And if you didn't watch this episode, this was right before she got fired. So, you know, Tucker Carlson gone, and now Candace Owens, both from two large conservative organizations. Fox News, I don't know, it's debatable whether you can say they're conservative. They push a lot of things that aren't, but generally speaking, they're thought of as on the right versus like a CNN or MSNBC on the left. But here's Candace now, doing an episode. She obviously has, Well, she has some idea. If you listen to the whole thing, and I highly recommend that you do, both of the previous one with her conversation with Dave Smith, listen to the whole thing. But then also this last one before she was fired, listen to what she says here.
I am team God. Okay? I'm team God. I do not fear the media. I do not fear journalists. I do not fear AIPAC. I don't fear Big Pharma. What I actually fear is God. I think that one day we are all going to have to account for the things that we have done and the things that we have said. And I want to make sure that I am not a person that is parroting lies. The fear of losing your job, encouraging some people to spit out lies, I don't think that works in the end. Right, I think you've got to check your priorities. And so with that said, I want to thank everybody who has been on this journey with me, people that have supported me. I especially want to thank all of the Jewish people that have been in the comments saying how outraged they are. And I know that it is especially difficult for you guys right now because you are being smeared, you know? I mean, I'm not going to go away. I'm going to use my God-given voice to talk about the things that are important for me. And I'm just asking to be left alone, or at least just report the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. But don't worry, because we will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode.
So, as you know, Candace would do a show every day. And she said, don't worry, we'll be back tomorrow with more. And as we all know, she didn't come back the next day. She got, I don't know, they parted ways. But what that means is the Daily Wire said, we're not going to pay you anymore to be talking about these things. And it's an important conversation to have. And so let's talk about it. And that's why I'm talking about it here. And if you haven't been tracking all these things, I highly recommend that you go and you listen to these things. Let's be deep thinkers. Let's not just keep our heads down and you know, do our thing every day without realizing that you know, there's some important issues at stake, and we need to speak the truth into them, and we need more voices that filter these things through a Christian worldview. That's what we do here, the holistic approach to wealth from a Christian worldview. One of the forms of wealth that we have is our cultural capital, and that's why we've discussed it today. If you didn't catch it, we may be seeing a debate between Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens, and I certainly look forward to that, about the definition of anti-Semitism. You know, there's a lot of people saying, you know what, an anti-Semite used to be somebody who hated Jews, and now an anti-Semite is anybody who Jews hate. And I'm not saying Ben Shapiro hates Candace Owens, but you get the idea that there's a huge push, and it's being talked about at all levels of our country right now. And it's a fascinating topic to me, so that's why I've addressed it here. That's all I have. I hope it whets your appetite to look more into these things. It amazes me how many people I talk to that still haven't had or heard these interviews, especially the one with Tucker Carlson and Putin. But yeah, they are both, Tucker and Candace are not going away. They are certainly still around, and you can see and hear the justification for why they do what they do in their journalism. And I thank God for people like them, because they bring some pretty amazing perspectives and interviews to the table. And so with that being said, don't forget to get your Whole Steward cap and the shirt and the hoodie that are there, and look for more. When I get time to put them on there, I will. Thanks for your patience, and thanks for listening. Now that you know more, go out and grow more.
All content on The Whole Stewart is for informational purposes only and must not be considered personal, professional, tax, or legal advice. Please consult an appropriate professional for individualized advice. Though we do our best to bring you reliable information, we make no guarantee on its accuracy, so you must rely on your own due diligence to draw your own conclusions. The views expressed by guests on the show are their own and may not represent that of the host. Please visit our website for complete terms and conditions.
Thanks for joining us today for The Holistic Approach to Wealth from a Christian Worldview. This show is brought to you by thewholesteward.com.